Hello, everyone, on this bright and wintry day in Plainfield. It's Sunday, December 22nd, 2019, and we welcome you all warmly to our Sunday morning roundtable discussion. We are recording from the Plainfield Christian Science Church Independent, Plainfield, New Jersey, the United States of America, and thank you so much for joining us. I'll start with our prayer.
This is 2 seconds from one of Mrs. Eddy's many letters to her student. It can be found on page 128 of Divinity Course in General Collectania. My beloved student, may this dear Christmas season be to you a Christ risen, a morn, the break of day. There is nothing jubilant attached to the birth of a mortal that suffers and pays the penalty of his parents' misconception of man and of God's creation. But there is a joy unalterable in knowing that Christ had no birth, no death, and that we may find in Christ, in the true sense of being, life apart from birth, sorrow, sin, and death. Oh, may your eyes not be holden, but may you discern spiritually what is our Redeemer. May you watch and pray that you keep the commandments and live the Sermon on the Mount this coming year. Mary Baker Eddy.
It's beautiful. Thank you. Watching point.
Watching point number 406. Watch that you realize that as you work for God, He cares for you. If you do His work, His reward is sure. No financial need should ever cause us to feel that we must leave God's work in order to work for man, since the right demonstration of doing God's work carries with it all the support needed. It is true that God loves us with an unchanging love, but it is helpful to feel that we must earn that love in order to have it expressed. Prayer should not be regarded as an effort to jog God's elbow so that He will remember us. It should be our effort to remember God, to know that He is caring for us in every way, and to determine to live up to what He expects of us. It is our confident trust in Him and our effort to serve Him, plus the expectancy of all good, that brings a continuous daily inflow of His love and care into our lives and meets all our needs. End quote.
Thank you. Comments, please.
It's a beautiful reward, I feel, to just have the confidence that there is a power guiding you who will provide for you and therefore stay the fear, the temptation to fear or be anxious about anything.
It certainly is.
I also love that part where it says we're not praying to jog God's elbow so that He'll remember us. He's always there.
Yes.
We just need to make sure that we stay close to Him.
Yeah, that we're always there.
Right.
Jeremy?
It's just so wonderful to know that He has a purpose for us and a place for us, and that Christian Science gives us a way to find that and stay with it. So very grateful for that.
Yes. Yeah, we were given years ago that I can't quote it exactly. I think it's the last verse in 2 Kings about His allowance was a continual allowance given to us at a daily rate by the King every day for the rest of our lives. Something, that's the gist of it. But it's that idea of that constant flow of his blessings. Now it mentions working for man and working for God. What did that mean? Maybe Gary, you should tell us.
The watching point.
It's in the top paragraph. It's like the third one.
In the meantime.
Well, I just would like to say, one of the first projects I got involved with the church was moving the recording area upstairs. And Bruce and I worked together on that. And in the middle of that, I started getting very worried that I wasn't doing it right and that I was letting the board down and all this stuff. And then I finally realized that God is my employer. And I just got to do what's right every day to make him happy. And that was a great relief. So,
thank you very much. It's an important point here, I think, that no matter what you do or where you find yourself, you need to know that God is your employer. If you know that, then you're always serving him. Remember when Mrs. Eddy, I don't know, one of her students said something to her about material work or something, and she said, what?
I didn't know there was any material work.
I didn't know.
It was menial. She thought it was menial or something, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the answer was Mrs. Eddy didn't know there was that. Mm-hmm. And she would say, I know sometimes she would say some of her best workers were the women who were praying as they cooked the meals, as they tended the house, as whatever they did. And there's a watching point about that too, where the woman talks about how, you know, whatever she was doing, she put God in it. So it wasn't like two separate things, that you go to work and God isn't in the picture, and then you come home and read Science and Health and suddenly he's in the picture. He should always be in your picture, always. He should be your everything. He should be your all. He should be real to you. A very present help in trouble, always.
And yesterday we talked about the Bible study. We talked about what real business is. You see a need, and God directs you to fill that need. And by the way, you get paid for it. And that's how everything in our lives should be. I know in my own case, when I've had employment that seemed to conflict with other things that God wanted me to do, it was, you know, it was a matter of, God, what do you want? And in some cases, I was lifted out of that employment and it changed. And I was able to do everything that God wanted me to do. And in some cases, it was a matter of my seeing things at my business that I had correctly, that I wasn't seeing correctly. And by keeping it in God's hands, I was able to do the work that I was doing even better. Because you can't not benefit mankind when you're doing what God wants you to do. I mean, when you're doing what God wants you to do, you're blessing everybody around you better than you could if you tried to do it humanly. This is a tough lesson. I mean, it was tough for me to learn. It took me years to sort of see it. But it was a matter of working it out day by day.
And you know, some guidelines are, if your job is taking you away Sunday mornings or Wednesday nights, if it is, then that you need to challenge it. Because I remember one time someone in our coming new to our church asked why there weren't more people there. Well,
what's your priority?
What's your priority? Yeah, we've been here trained, you know, none of us take jobs that are Wednesday nights or Sunday mornings. very rarely do we ever miss. And the reason so many of the churches are so empty is because that's not a priority anymore. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. That commandment is not a priority anymore.
I think also Mrs. Eddy says, this is again Blue Book, it says that my work is in mind. It comes from God. And it doesn't even make sense that God would give you what you need to do for him and have it conflict with anything else. Whatever is our duty to do, God-given, we do it with him in mind completely.
Yes.
He also said that we cannot attempt anything without the help of God. I think it's quite different when from your own ambition or something, you know, conjure up some big deal that you're supposed to be doing. And there's a result for that too. So,
yeah,
different.
No, that's so true, Florence. And we can and we can and should have confidence that God will provide.
You get so that people stop asking you to do things too.
Exactly.
On Sunday and Wednesday.
Absolutely, they do.
They expect you to go where you need to go.
That's right, and they respect you for it. This was a lesson Carol had to learn.
It was. I was often asked to work late on Wednesdays or not to come in on Sundays, but Wednesdays, definitely. And I would get to church late or maybe not even get there. And finally, practitioner got through to me that when I were to take a stand for God and let them know that I'm leaving so that I can go to church, they respected that. They did, and they never asked me to work on Wednesdays. They'll say, oh, Wednesday, no, we can't have Carol work. We'll have somebody, you know.
There you are.
Yep.
Most of you don't even challenge it. You know, you just think, oh, I have to. And it's this false sense of burden and responsibility and oh, I might get fired or whatever. Well, you put God first. You think you're going to get fired. And if you do, maybe you don't want to work there anyway.
You go into a better job anyhow.
You'll be promoted to a better job. Think of, again, Daniel. All of these that put God first so completely. You know, I had something recently where someone who knows me fairly well, she knows I'm a Christian praying woman anyway, but she asked me who my doctor was, and I didn't have a doctor. And so she sort of guessed, oh, you don't have a doctor. And she said, well, what about your blood work? And all that. And later I thought, well, you know, all these years, God has been my physician. And she acknowledged that. She said, well, you're in pretty good shape. I said, yes, I am. I believe in the power of prayer. And but you see, when God is your all in every instance. Now, if you have to go to a doctor, this is a no condemnation. But I'm just saying, if you really give your life in the best you can in every way, he takes care of you. This is what it is to have him. You're everything. Your physician, your employer, your best friend, your closest relative. He's everything. And he will be. And that goes, which I'm going to kind of skip over. Well, I will say that the subject today is the universe, including man, evolved by atomic force. And then I'm going to skip over because it applies to Florence's forum. Someone asked where's the forum? Who's Parthens? Okay, well, the forum we have on our website, and I sometimes refer to it during roundtables and other times. So Florence, and Parthens is someone in our church. Florence, what did you think? God is in the midst of her.
Oh, yeah. It's Psalm 46, where it says that God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The heathen raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. I mean, that right there is so comforting. And Matthew Henry, he says that if God be in our hearts, by his word dwelling richly in us, we shall be established. we shall be helped. Let us trust and not be afraid. It's beautiful there for me, because afraid is what I used to be. Anyway, and then I said that to me, this can be applied to ourselves as one of the most important instructions to have God in our lives, to have in Him in all we do. This is the preventative benefit for health and safety, not to be ignored. Verse 5 has been used as a counterfact for when the lying suggestion says something is going on in your body. Why can't this also be a commanding rejection to the claims of stomach troubles and digestive claims? God is in my midst. Don't try me. I'm not a poor mortal, but God's own child, would be a confident response to such claims. Of course, this is only effective if we have been living the truth, if His word is in our hearts. And then the last part was that this psalm was about Jerusalem when it was besieged by Assyria. Hence, it is true today that for all nations, states, counties, cities, towns, homes, and each of us to put God first. God never fails us if we do not deny Him.
Thank you. That's
we're grateful for the lesson writer.
Mm-hmm. So you think God being in the midst, God's in the midst of you. We've talked about the law being in your inward parts. You know, so you have an achy joint. Well, God's in the midst. As Florence said, digestive problems, headaches. Yeah. What is it? What is your problem and where is it? Well, if God is in the midst, and as the lesson brings out in Science and Health about principle, well, let's see. Carol, you read citation 2.
Principle and its idea is one, and this one is God, omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent being, and His reflection is man and the universe. Omni is adopted from the Latin adjective signifying all. Hence, God combines all power or potency, all science or true knowledge, all presence. The varied manifestations of Christian Science indicate mind, never matter, and have one principle.
This idea of the omni, the all, if you're really knowing that, what's left? Is there anything left to be troublesome?
No.
So right where you think that trouble is, whatever that trouble is actually the presence and power of God. And one of you I spoke to recently, because later or sometime during the night or day, she was feeling fearful about something. And what did Mrs. Eddy instruct her students to do in their watch, the first watch of the morning?
Handle fear
and establish what
God's
we just
allness.
God's allness. All of you should be doing this. That morning watch, Mrs. Eddy could not have fear in her home, could she? She couldn't have students who were being afraid or you know, whoops, what happened? So everyone was assigned this. And if they were assigned it in her home, well, shouldn't we do this in our morning work? And if you truly establish the omnipresence, omniscience, omnipotence of God in the morning, you won't be afraid. That's what it says, what Florence was reading. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. We will not fear, though the earth be removed. That's pretty serious.
But this is what it means to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind.
Yeah, I mean, if we take God for granted, we'll never feel this power, that is in control of everything. But it's just such a comfort when we really see what's at work here.
It's such a comfort.
Well, that's it. I mean, the fact is, God is all. The belief or the fear that something other than God is real is the illusion. So we're not talking about faith cure here. We're not talking about human will. We're talking about acknowledging what is true.
And Shardy, what did you write on your form?
Oh, I love this. Thank you, lesson writer. That we're promised the joy, and so shall the spiritual idea guide us right, all right desires, in their passage from sense to soul. And that's what we're all working for. From a material sense of existence to the spiritual, up to the glory prepared for them who love God. And then right in the lesson it says, Science and Health 209, all must give place to the spiritual fact by the translation of man and the universe back into spirit. And then Science and Health 321, the illusion of Moses lost its power to alarm him when he discovered that what he apparently saw was really but a phase of material belief. And then Mrs. Wilcox really helps me with that in her chapter and page 353 in her addresses, going from sense to soul translation.
Thank you. Yeah, and it's citation 9 in Science and Health that brings all of this out. Shari quoted from some of it. Jeremy, you read the first paragraph.
The Hebrew lawgiver, slow of speech, despaired of making the people understand what should be revealed to him. When, led by wisdom to cast down his rod, he saw it become a serpent, Moses fled before it. But wisdom bade him come back and handle the serpent, and then Moses' fear departed. In this incident was seen the actuality of science. Matter was shown to be a belief only. The serpent, evil, under wisdom's bidding, was destroyed through understanding divine science. And this proof was a staff upon which to lean. The illusion of Moses lost its power to alarm him when he discovered that what he apparently saw was really but a phase of mortal belief.
This is the deep science. Many people scoff at this, but you can prove it to be true. In the article, Martha Wilcox, The Word Made Flesh, she goes into this. You know, you can see something in the dark and you think it's whatever, a bear. Anyway, and then in the light of day, you realize it isn't. Well, when you have a problem, this is what you are seeing. Something that's not really there, but you think it is, and therefore you fear it, and therefore you act like it's there, and it seems to take a life of its own. But Mrs. Eddy says, error comes, what?
To you from us.
Our life, and we give it all the life.
So do not be tricked by these illusions that seem real.
But this is why it's so essential to fill our consciousness with the truth, to start each day by reading the Bible and Science and Health. Fill your consciousness with the truth. And if it's full of the truth, you know, when error comes to you, you're going to detect it for what it is. It's not going to be able, you know, it's not going to be able to influence you. It's not going to, trick you into thinking that it's really some big powerful thing that you have to fear. But it's interesting. Handle fear with the truth. Florence mentioned how she used to fear. Well, I used to fear a lot. I probably still do sometimes. You know, fear is a real bugaboo. We can fear things without really realizing that we're fearing them. That's why this is such That's why it's so much fun here to go to church and share with one another. Because you never stop learning.
It's wonderful that now when you feel it, you know what it is and you can bring the truth to demolish it. It's just wonderful for me. It's like you bring 2 + 2 = 4 to 2 + 2 = 5. And where is it? It's not the right way. So
yeah,
it's just wonderful what science does teach. And I think it's this foundation of knowing that we do not have a life apart from God. In part of Mrs. Eddy's message to her students there, that is a basis I think we must be learning if we are moving from sense to soul. I realize now that I didn't think of that at all in the beginning. Not at all. You know, so I was always applying the truth to the lie. I mean, to the misconception that this is a mortal with this and this and this. Yeah. So I think it's something to be remember anyway, to be working out of.
Yeah, thank you. But there's nothing separate from God anywhere.
Yeah, you're just looking at it through tinted glasses, so to speak. You're not seeing what's truly there. And when you take off the tinted glasses, you will see what's truly there, and it's the Son of God.
Yeah, and Mrs. Eddy states it in Science and Health. Jesus beheld in science what?
The perfect man.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Or erring mortal.
Yeah.
Right? You know, saw a mere mortal. Uh-huh. His thought was so full of the truth all the time. Nothing could get through. It was a perfect protection. And now with the science explained that he, you know, the science that Jesus understood very clearly and worked really hard to explain to others. And we have it here. Mrs. Eddy has explained it. So we have this great privilege and opportunity to fill our own consciousness with the truth. And God is all.
Okay, Nancy, you read the second paragraph in citation 9.
Sure. It was scientifically demonstrated that leprosy was a creation of mortal mind and not a condition of matter. When Moses first put his hand into his bosom and drew it forth white as snow with the dread disease, and presently restored his hand to its natural condition by the same simple process, God had lessened Moses' fear by this truth in divine science, and the inward voice became to him the voice of God, which said, "It shall come to pass, if they will not believe thee, neither hearken to the voice of the first sign, that they will believe the voice of the latter sign." And so it was in the coming centuries, when the science of being was demonstrated by Jesus, who showed his students the power of mind by changing water into wine, and taught them how to handle serpents unharmed, to heal the sick and cast out evils in proof of the supremacy of mind.
It's just wonderful. And so people that scoff, well, they don't understand these so-called miracles, as dear Jessica has been testifying on Wednesdays, talking over and over about the miracles as being natural, Mrs. Eddy says.
Divinely natural.
Divinely natural. And so whatever your ailment is, remember you're believing in an illusion. And you can prove it to be true. And so, and we all have. You just remember past victories and know this too is an illusion that you can overcome. It's not the truth. But it's daily work. It's daily giving yourself to God, as Florence has been emphasizing. It's most important. So these are wonderful. Wonderful the way God works. One thing I wanted to mention too that's helped me very much, that in what Florence said earlier, quoting Matthew Henry, where he says, if God be in our hearts by his word dwelling richly in us, we shall be established, we shall be helped. Let us trust and not be afraid. That word establish, it means to settle, to fix what is wavering, doubtful, or weak, to settle permanently. Over and over, if you look the word up, established or establish, in the concordance, over and over, the Bible says, who establishes us?
God.
God establishes us. You can't establish your own self. God establishes yourself.
And you certainly can't establish anybody else.
No. God establishes you, your home, your family, your life, your church, your nation, your world. And to think of what that does. To fix what is wavering, doubtful, or weak. Are you wavering, doubtful, and weak? Well, let God establish you. He fixes whatever is wavering, doubtful, or weak, and then he will settle you. Settle you. To mean you're settled, you mean you're not running all around or you don't know which end is up. You're settled, you're calm, you're poised. He will settle you permanently. It's a tremendous thought, and I love it.
One thing I say is let God, let the reign of divine life, truth, love, be established. It's such a long word. I often wondered what it meant. Now I know.
Thank you. That's a wonderful application for it. Yes. And we know Mrs. Eddy very carefully picked her words. So every time you see that word established, remember what it means and that this is what God is doing for you, in you, through you. And it cannot be removed, as the lesson says, it cannot be removed. So, Jeffrey, you read the golden text, please.
Tremble, thou earth, at the presence of the Lord, at the presence of the God of Jacob.
Thank you. Okay, Gary, you read what Parthens wrote about that.
Parthens writes, earth is translated into heaven to the degree that you, I, and all of us approach God in humility, gratitude, and awe. It can be argued that Einstein's great insights and discoveries were, like Mrs. Eddy's, the direct result of a humble, reverent approach towards God. Quote, my religion consists of a humble admiration of the illimitable superior spirit who reveals himself in the slight details we are able to perceive with our frail and feeble minds. That deeply emotional conviction of the presence of a superior reasoning power, which is revealed in the incomprehensible universe, forms my idea of God. Unquote. God grant that earth be filled with such scientists as this.
And remember in that quote we read earlier that God being omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent. And it says, hence God combines all power, all potency, all science, or true knowledge, all presence. So as Mrs. Eddy encouraged our intelligent education, and she knew that if you take anything far enough, you will come to science, because science is the ultimate. And by that I mean Christian science, as did Einstein. And you know, we have studied him a bit. What do you want to say about him?
Well, one of the things that I thought was really telling if you read Einstein's biography and some of the things that he said to people, one of the things that came out was whenever he was approaching a problem in physics that he couldn't really quite get resolved, he would stop and he would ask himself, if I were God, how would I make this work? And that was how he approached physics. If he said, how would God make this work? And every one of his discoveries was discovered through inspiration, intuition. It's for occult, whatever you want. It was not in the laboratory by experimenting. It was thought. And he got inspiration that took physics, the study of physics, to a whole different level. And when he came to the United States and moved to Princeton, he visited the breathing room, he visited the Christian Science Church, he read the textbook, and he was impressed that Mrs. Eddy had discovered several years before what he was just beginning to discover through a different way.
Thank you.
So it makes it more clear to me why she called this study, if you will, Christian Science. If it's Christian, it has to be scientific. And if it's truly scientific, it has to be Christian. There can't be a separation between Christianity and true science. They are both of God in reality.
And more people are finding this. You know, we've had this fellow from, I guess he's in California now, that's, I think he sent us a Christmas card last year, and he follows us, and he's a scientist. And
astrophysicist.
Yeah. Yes. And he's acknowledged it and written us things. Anyone who takes it far enough will find this truth wherever you go. And that includes Materia Medica. It includes everything. And we know because Mrs. Eddy has told us that the leaven of truth is working in these areas. Science, theology, medicine. And it's overturning, overturning, overturning. And it will continue until all nations, all peoples bow before this Christ truth.
The doctors will admit that we had a boy that we know, he was totally paralyzed, and there was a lot of prayer going on. And I had told you, Bowden, and he was totally healed. And the doctor said, there's no explanation for this medically. This is all
yes.
Prayer's work.
Yes. Yeah. There was a movie a while ago, too, about this. I didn't see it, but I just saw the ads for a little boy who fell through the ice, was, you know, drowned and considered dead, and prayer went on, and he was raised up. And people who have gone on and come back, they know, as Luann has talked about, they have a great lessening of fear of anything, because they know death didn't kill them. Whatever their problem was didn't kill them. Just like when Moses saw his leper and then put it back in, it came out okay. So an aggressive mental suggestion seems very real, just like in a dream. Boy, I've had dreams that have seemed so real. And when I wake up, I have to shake them off. They weren't real, just a dream. Now, is Suzanne here?
She was.
She is.
Suzanne, she wrote about they that go down to the sea in ships that do business in great waters. These see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. Suzanne, you want to comment? You wrote about that on the forum.
Yeah.
You don't have to read it.
Can you hear me?
I can.
Okay. I love that because, I mean, my dad was a merchant seaman, but it seems like there's nothing more vast and seemingly more terrifying than the sea at night in the storm. And I love what Matthew Henry said. We have a saying, let those that would learn to pray go to sea. I say, let those that will go to sea learn to pray and accustom themselves to pray, that they may come with a more boldness to the throne of grace when they are in trouble. And I mean, usually if anyone has been to coastlines, there's always small churches, you know, for the sailors. Anyway, that was so beautiful. Just the depth of our prayer should be as deep as the sea.
Yes. And everything. And what about, is Dale A here today?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Wait, yes. I'm on mute.
Okay, well, now you're not. So, because you have a boat and you've experienced and written beautiful things about that, right? Go back on mute.
Can you hear me?
Now yes. I can, yep.
Okay. I was going back and forth because I was put on mute when I called in. Yeah, I mean, you have to rely on God. There have been so many times that you don't even think about anything else because it can be a very dire situation or appear a very dire situation.
Yeah, God has guided you and your husband through that.
Yeah, yep. And I remember that one time that you were helping him with prayer going to Bermuda. I guess he was coming home to the States from Bermuda, and there were storms all around, but there were no storms right over their boat. And they were, at night, he could see the stars right over the boat. You know, you do watches out in the ocean, so you're around the clock. But there were storms all around. It was just such wonderful protection.
Thank you. Years ago, I guess it was at the South Seaport Plaza or something. There was in New York City. I went, there's a museum there, and I saw this. It was a documentary. It was a ship going around Cape Horn during a terrible storm. I will never forget that. I don't know how they filmed pictures of it, but because this is where Cape Horn is, the bottom of Chile, South America. Yeah, where the Atlantic meets the Pacific, and it's known the worst storms. Well, these waves and it was just unbelievable. It was all I could do. I mean, I was praying my heart out just watching this show. They did make it, but so what Suzanne and Dale just spoke of is very true. And sometimes we seem to be going through these storms of life, don't we? Where things are just, could they get any worse? I don't think so. and that's when you just have to hang in there and keep knowing this truth, and the storm will stop and the sun will come out and it will be peace again. So thank you. Now, Suzanne, what did you write? Excuse me. Not you said Suzanne, it's Linda. Linda, what did you write about on the forum?
Well, I decided to take a citation and work with it because we were reminded a couple weeks ago to just take a citation and just work with it rather than trying to read a bunch of and not have it stay with you. And I thought that was a good reminder. So I really loved the one that said, Creator, God who made all that was made and could not create an atom or an element the opposite of himself. And I've been using it all week, and it made me appreciate all the different things we have on our website that give us instruction or a different insight into this truth. And one of them is Martha Wilcox.
And this is a quote we received, I believe, from Mrs. Evans years ago. I have worked with it so many times. I've given out so many times and read it.
Okay. Quote, do not fear anything that your present body seems to be doing. Every cell, fiber, tissue, gland, organ, or muscle of the human body exists right now in the one mind as idea. And each idea is proclaiming, I am reflecting God. I am expressing God. Every cell and fiber of my being is expressing the sovereignty of God, or proclaiming, I am.
Isn't that wonderful? Because anytime your body's doing anything you think isn't right, the first thing you get afraid. She addresses that fear. And she pulls us back into the omnipresence, omnipotence, omniscience of God. How could there be anything? It goes back to I am in the midst of thee. He's all presence. So if you're having any kind of a problem, think of this. Work with this. And to think, could not create an atom or an element, the opposite of himself. That's just wonderful. And that, you know, this is the universe, including man, evolved by atomic force. All is God. God is all in all, and it's infinite. Mind is all in all, and it's infinite manifestation.
I think this is where Mrs. Eddy's instruction that we should take the first commandment as our medicine and our weapon. I mean, because all this backs up to that. If God is all and there's none beside him, what else is here?
That's it. And that's it. And if you acknowledge that, that is acknowledging the first commandment, which is the great commandment in loving our neighbor as ourself. And this is why it's so important. But I never knew this. And I was pretty much at least partly raised in the Sunday school here, but I never knew the deeper meaning of that first commandment. And, you know, this nothing, not one iota. So what iota do you think is out there that's not of God? Eustace wrote that beautiful short article on germs. And, you know, this time of year, people seem to come down with various things. Well, think on this, okay? The germ of goodness is the only germ. And this germ, in its infinity of variety, expresses God in all its ways. Malicious suggestion may call this germ a typhoid germ, a tubercular germ, or any other kind, just as it divides its sense of the animal, vegetable, and mineral kingdoms into either harmless or dangerous species. So it classifies its sense of the germ kingdom into one good germ and bad germs. Did Daniel have two kinds of lions? Did Jesus have two kinds of water, one rough and the other smooth? One to be walked upon and the other to be drowned in. There is one germ and one only. That is the germ of God, the germ of good, the germ that always works together for good to them that love God. Do you love this germ with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind and with all thy strength? Or are you anxious to destroy it? Is this the germ that is always in heaven? It is. It blesses you. No hypnotic suggestion can deceive you into belief of any other germ. The one mind as the only mind is the law of total annihilation to any claim of supposititious mind to hypnotically suggest a belief in a germ apart from the germ of God. And there is no such mind. Treat yourself, treat your home, our nation, and our world with this truth. It will bring great healing and blessing. And it will be a total protection. This, my friends, is your flu shot. You want a real flu shot? It is this. And this is letting God be all to you. Why would you need anything else when you get this deeper understanding of who and what he is? Not one iota.
And when this truth heals you, don't ever forget it. Don't ever take it for granted. Don't ever stop shouting it from the rooftops. Don't ever stop testifying to God's power and love for you.
And this is why Mrs. Eddy, in her wisdom, has us on our Wednesday evening meeting. To come and thank God and bless God, be part of this group. So you don't forget, lest you forget. And if she established for us to do it, I would say it's important to do it and to put it first. Letting God be everything, your all in all to you. If you put that first, all other things work out. I can't tell you how many times, I mean, we learned this lesson. It seemed like we would be so busy on the weekends. There's so much to do, or even Wednesday night, work all day, you're tired at night, whatever the arguments, or you got more work you have to do. You put God first in those ways. Drop everything, put it all on the altar, and come to serve, worship, glorify Him, and thank Him for His goodness. And you go out here with wings on. And whatever was troubling you will be taken care of. You think if you put God first, He's not going to take care of you? Of course He does.
That's His covenant with us.
That is His covenant. So we are going to end on scientific translations.
By Martha Wilcox.
Yes.
The translation of material man and the material universe back into spirit is best accomplished by using Jesus' scientific method, which was always one of spiritual fulfillment and not one of destruction. Translation, as taught by Jesus and later as taught by Mrs. Eddy, is the changing of our material concept of the things at hand into a higher or more spiritual concept of the same thing. Therefore, when I treat someone's heart, I do not destroy a material heart, but I understand that there is to that individual's heart is the spiritual fact, the divine idea, the very presence and substance of spirit. The trouble with the individual who seems to have heart trouble is that he sees his heart as corresponding to his false material concept of heart. Then I need to change his concept of heart and not his heart. By translation, I realize that there is to a material heart, that all there is to a material heart or to the material concept of heart is the spiritual fact, which is reality. I do not change the spiritual fact, but I translate my material concept or belief about the spiritual fact and see and understand it as it is. I, as a translator, see in my material concept of heart something which, if lifted up into its true depict, is the substance of the spiritual fact at hand. We know heart is a spiritual fact, because from our textbook, page 585, we read, quote, "Christian science, with which can be discerned the spiritual fact of whatever the material senses behold," end quote. And again, quote, "All must give place to the spiritual fact by the translation of man and the universe back into spirit. In proportion as this is done, man and the universe will be found harmonious and eternal," end quote. Science and Health, page 209.
So let God be your all in all. And thank you for joining us.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.